It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why I'm not even going to do one of those that's why bits at the beginning of this episode.
I agree with that reasoning. Yeah. Totally agree.
I am sick of this shit.
Well,
how many of these have we done now? I mean, I don't know how many they've done, but...
I don't know. I lost track.
We've done a lot of them.
Yeah, too many. One was too many, though. I mean, honestly, so here we are.
That is true. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that actively participates in interdimensional slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest.
Yep.
I am Evil Tony.
And I am Evil William.
And we don't know what episode number this is. You probably do. You should.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're back. So clearly the numbnutses from that other universe couldn't get there.
Something's wrong with them over there.
Yeah.
I mean, other than usual.
Yeah.
There's always something wrong with those two.
I said numbnuts. I've been trying to make use of dick nuts. Came from Archer. That's one that Pam says a lot. I don't know why, I just find it so funny. It's like, way to go, dick nuts.
Okay.
What is that? Is that just like, normally you'd say nuts, but then you're worried that people would be confused if it was like the ones from a tree or the ones. So you specify, no, dick nuts.
Okay.
I don't get it, but
it cracks me up. I don't either.
There's a lot of those weird ones like that. Some of them make, ass wipe, you know. That's a very specific image, and you understand what they're calling you.
Guess, yeah.
Unless you're Nick Cage, and then you say it's pronounced Esweepe.
Esweepe.
That was a pretty funny bit.
It was. And he was the perfect person to do it.
Absolutely.
You couldn't have found a person on Earth who was better for that sketch.
Esweepe.
And you couldn't have found a better person than Schneider to be the waiter. To come and, you know, bring his check.
Yeah.
Here's your check, Mr. Asswipe. He was the perfect guy for that.
And unfortunately, that was when he peaked.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
Goodness. But you wouldn't know that from all the movies he's still in and money he's still making. Unlike us. This is why we're evil over here, people. Do you know what our Rob Schneider does? Me neither. As it should be.
What's wrong with you people over there? Which universe is truly evil? That's what I want to know.
So for those of you just joining us...
Well, we are because of the goatees, but that's getting beside the point.
On paper. if you're just joining us, here's how the show works. It's the other guys that have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, I don't know who, but somebody... writes into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, little questions, little topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Those douchebags, and occasionally us when we have no say in the matter, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the show.
Yeah, people just write these things in, apparently, to an email address, and then they just show up in this hat.
As little note cards.
Like, these guys don't do anything. They just look in the hat, and there they are.
Nope.
The hat does it all by itself.
Yep.
As if by magic.
And that's a podcast.
Although, hasn't it somewhere been said that, magic... is indistinguishable from advanced technology, which we over here in this dimension have. So what's probably going on with this hat is
probably... So we shouldn't be that impressed, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying it's probably our technology.
It does seem pretty evil as a concept.
Yeah. It's probably technology. That's probably how we got roped into this whole thing in the first place. Somebody over here made this little piece of technology and thought it would be funny to mess with those guys who are our counterparts in that dimension. And so it messes with us by extension. We need to find the person on this side, on this universe, who made that hat.
This feels like a Mike Judge movie.
We need to find that person because then maybe it'll stop.
Oh.
They might have the key to shutting this thing off.
We need to find the evil hatter?
Yeah. I think now we know the origin of this crazy...
Oh my goodness.
...crazy thing. It's all about this universe. See, we thought it was about that universe impinging on our universe, but it's the other way around.
You know the most amazing part about all this?
What?
After all of this? Still don't care.
Well, I care. I think we should start...
You're evil. You're not William.
No. I think we both need to... Each of us needs to make a list of enemies that... Yeah, wait, that's not going to be any good. We can't do that.
You're going to have to narrow that down.
If
you just want my left-handed female enemies above 5'10", that I could write. But it'd still be pretty long.
I'll give it some thought. But whoever's doing this, very sneaky and very brilliant, that should narrow it down, right? I mean, I think my list of enemies has... At least half of them are probably really stupid. I could just...
Sneaky and brilliant, I assume I did it then.
Did you do it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, then it's got to be somebody else. So,
that was the plan, I think, from Blackadder Goes Forward. How we find the German spy. We go up to each officer and we say, are you the spy? And if they say yes, shoot them.
I'm going to make a list of all my enemies, exclude all the dumb ones. That should narrow it down a little bit, don't you think?
Okay.
But don't you... I mean, maybe all your enemies are brilliant. I don't know.
No, all my enemies are dumb.
Oh. So they couldn't have been any of your enemies then?
Probably not.
Okay, well, if all of your enemies are stupid, then we can discount all of your... So what happened to one of mine?
It's clearly dumb to be enemies with me.
It's got to be one of mine then.
Fell for the classic blunder.
I'll figure it out.
Famous.
I'll make a list. I'll narrow it down. And I'll find out who invented this crazy hat that's got us in such trouble over here.
I watched a show the other day, a current show, that made a Princess Bride reference. That was kind of cool.
What should we do to this person once I find out who they are?
Make them host it.
I like to have a plan.
Let's make them host the podcast.
I don't think we can do that. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Can we kill them? I'm not saying should we. Can we?
We probably can, but that's not nearly as good as...
No. If we can, we can probably make them host the podcast because we say, host the podcast yourself or we'll kill you.
I thought we could just hack the hat and it would force them to do it without them knowing it. Like, you know what I'm saying? We could hack it and then they're just going about their day and then one day they find themselves hosting the hat much the same way we did.
But you said
then they realize
genius, so they'd figure it out.
Well, they're probably smarter than me. That's true.
What amazes me is how long this bit has gone on and how committed you are to it.
All right, well, if I...
I think this is really...
If I figure it out...
Yeah.
If I figure it out, I'll let you know who it is, and then we can plot something. Because you're smarter than me, and you're probably smarter than my enemies.
When I have an idea.
That's pretty neat.
That was a visual gag just for those in the studio audience.
Most of our gags are visual. That's why we do a podcast.
So, the cats. The cats got to see that. So, how was your period of time?
Well, it was fine.
It's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mine was okay.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did anything interesting happen?
Not that I can officially admit to.
Oh. That's usually the way, isn't it?
The Popo in the evil universe are still the Popo.
Yeah.
I feel like I just said Popo twice, unironically. I've never done that in my life before. I feel weird about it. Not gonna lie. It was probably ironically. I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right, so shall we draw some things out of stuff?
Sure. Do we have irony in this universe?
Do we have irony in this universe? Yes, but only evil irony.
Okay.
Irony with a goatee. Or maybe irony is the only thing in this universe without a goatee.
How ironic.
Don't you think?
Coffee?
No, thank you.
Two sugars?
Coffee.
Have you ever felt
no.
you had a real moment of connection with someone even though neither of you said a word? Other than accidentally bumping into someone, I presume. Because, yep, that's definitely happened.
Oh, that happened? You just, like, bumped into a person and you're like...
Oh. Well, the bump itself is a connection, you know, actual physical.
Oh.
You've connected.
That's not interesting.
No, but this person's talking about a like an emotional or like a I don't know, a yeah. human connection, I guess.
But potentially it could be with somebody you know, just like deeply connecting silently.
This happens to me all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's constantly.
Is it happening. Usually with strangers or just friends that don't want to talk to you?
Well, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
Well, I'm like you and I have never had that, but that's because we don't spend a lot of time in silence. Like, we've never had the chance to see. And I feel like on a radio program, it's not the time to try it out.
Well, this happens all the time. Yes, it's usually with strangers for the very reason that you just said. It's because usually when I'm with someone, I'm talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always. I mean, unless we're together watching a movie or a... And even then, depending on the venue, we might still be talking to another. But so yeah, it's usually strangers, like you know, walking down the street or.
On so what, you're bus just like looking at them, and you're like, dude.
I don't know what the sound. I don't really know how to explain it. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. You just sometimes you, well. Have you ever felt you had a real moment of connection with someone?
Now, I like that song.
Does this also mean that you get the sense that they feel a connection too? It's not just you. You don't see someone. You think,
no. Could there be like a one-way connection?
Well, why couldn't there be?
That I would just consider like I'm really into that person. Like I think they're really attractive, or I think they look really interesting, or there's something, some vibe I'm getting that they're like really cool, or the opposite, I suppose. I'm getting a vibe that they are an asshole. But I don't consider that a connection. I don't know. When I think of a connection with somebody, in my head, that's a two-way thing.
Okay.
But I don't know that everybody else feels that way. But in my head, that's what I mean.
I don't really know either. I mean, it's...
Otherwise, I'm just sort of admiring them. Or...
Well, but I'm not talking about that. I'm
shitting all over them.
I'm talking about seeing someone and there's something... Not... attractive necessarily or nothing. It's all the words you just said don't apply, but you're fascinated for some reason.
Right.
It's not
because they have a bot fly larva grown out of their skull,
and it's not for a reason like that, like there's some like okay. they're flamboyantly dressed or they're acting crazy or something. It's there's just something about the person that you just immediately think. If you had an opportunity, like if you met by chance or you were sitting next to them on a bus or whatever, and you had an opportunity that you might strike up a conversation with this person. Doesn't, you know, it could be an older person, it could be a younger person, it could be a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. You just suddenly feel like this person has some interesting information, or the information that's interesting to me. And if I had an opportunity, I'd strike up a conversation with this person and try to figure out what that information is.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. It could be anybody. It could be like an elderly person. It could be, like I said, it could be a man or a woman. It could be a
there
child.
There are people I find interesting, and I do strike up conversations with them, but usually that's more the circumstance. I strike up a conversation with them because they are there. And they are not giving vibes that they will punch me.
Yeah,
I've discovered in recent years, and it's silly because I don't consider this a good thing at all. Silence makes me uncomfortable sometimes, and I don't like feeling that way. I kind of try and work on it. But I am sort of at that point.
But I'm sure for me it's kind of just a random thing. Like, for whatever reason, I'm looking in a particular direction, and this feeling hits me that... And part of it is because I tend to think, just as a matter of course, that everybody is fascinating. Everybody has a story to tell. And I just think there are moments when that feeling sort of overwhelms me when I happen to be looking in a particular direction. And whoever is in that direction, I'm going to pick out something unconsciously about them. Like, again, like say it's an elderly person and I notice the coat that he or she is wearing and it looks like, you know, it might somehow in my head I've decided it's not from the United States or something. Well, maybe they're not from the United States. And so things just start going on in my head. But not so much consciously, but it just kind of draws me. And I think it's kind of a random thing that happens.
Sometimes I will look at somebody, like a stranger, in like a food court or something, and there's something about their outfit that I'm like, I think they stole that from me. I'm pretty sure that's my outfit.
You know, what it is probably, I've got a real people-watching impulse, and that's probably all it is.
I love people-watching.
Yeah, yeah, I've definitely got a people-watching impulse, and that's probably all it is. But as far as a two-way connection...
Well, for me, I think it's like how kids look at sea monkeys is how I look at people. So I watch, but I'm like, ooh, look at the tricks.
Oh. No, I'm just fascinated by people. But as far as that two-way connection you're talking about, yeah, that happens to me quite a bit, too.
In the silence.
You kind of have to... You know, there's eye contact that's made, obviously, usually when that happens. And you just, you know, you kind of smile at the other person, and that's it. And again, can be anybody, can be a little kid, can be an older person.
That's the thing, man or woman, it doesn't matter. With kids... But it's very manufactured on my fart. Very manufactured on my fart. Oh, my God. Yeah, no.
A kid would love it if you said that.
I have a story to tell you, but I can't because it would place us in time involving farts.
Maybe I don't want to know.
No, it's pretty funny. Well, but
okay, well.
I don't believe it. On my part, I just like see a little kid and I just start making faces at them or something like that. And they think it's funny and then like we have a connection, but...
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't think there's anything special about the kid. No offense, kid.
Sometimes, you know, I'll see a kid will walk by. We'll look at each other and we'll both smile, and that'll be it. You know, I'm not like playing with the child or trying to entertain the child. It's just we see each other, we smile at each other because for I don't know what reason. It's not like I'm responding to the child smiling at me. We're both smiling at the same time. Like, hey, how you doing? Almost like we've always known each other, but we don't, and then we just go on our way.
See, I have that. I don't think of that as a connection. I think it just, if you happen to make eye contact, you're like, what do I do? Okay, well, smile, say hi. And sometimes you do it, and sometimes you make eye contact with the person, and they are not thinking that same way. They're just like, no, fuck you. But a lot of times, I got it at work, too. I got people like, hey. And, you know, and see, I have this a lot at work because we have these long hallways. And so you're walking down the hall, and somebody's coming the other way. And you plan it, because, you know, like, at some point we have to acknowledge each other, or it's weird. But you certainly don't want to do it too soon, because then you're just walking towards each other, either just staring at each other, which is freaky, or you do it, and then it's like you don't acknowledge it. So there's this weird game where you, like, make a point of sort of, like, not looking in their direction until you're close enough, and then you can look up, and you're, like, nod at them, sup, and move on. This happens a lot at work for me.
Complicated rules.
It is. It's all just in my head, but...
But I mean, I know what you're talking about, where two people see each other, and I've done it too. I mean, I don't always smile at a person who we...
End Sometimes up you're just like, fuck you!
No, I'm not. I just might not do anything, or I might make a gesture to say, hey, you know, kind of, like you just said, you kind of nod or whatever, but that's not the same as making a connection. I'm talking about when you know that the two of you you share a human moment there. They could, if something stopped you from walking past one another, or you weren't too so far away from each other on the bus or whatever it was, you would strike up a conversation. It's just not going to happen at that moment. So the connection is made that a conversation could happen. Like, you know, if that kid stopped there and I stopped there, I would talk to the kid, and he would talk to me, or she would talk to me, or whatever.
So this isn't my daddy.
No, but you see what I'm saying? It's like...
I do, but just literally, I've never experienced that.
Really?
No.
Well, that happens to me all the time.
Wake up, people.
And I don't know if it's happening for the other person. It looks like it is, but I don't know. I'm not in their head, but it feels like it's happening.
We've all agreed to fool you if this comes up, because we're worried what you'll do otherwise.
Yeah, right.
We all got together. everybody.
So I'm just speaking for myself, is what I'm saying.
This is the club of no Williams. But you got William Davis in there. Yeah, no Williams. We can have one. Do you remember that from The Simpsons?
No.
It's a classic Stonecutters episode. Oh. And then they had a club that they called the No Homers. And they're like, but you have no Homers, so-and-so. It's like, yeah, we can have one. No Homers.
That's good.
It was a good episode.
I've actually seen that one, and it was a good episode.
It was pretty good.
Stonecutter.
You got a royal sampler. That wins. All right, give me the hat. This time I will draw the question. Probably.
You're awful noisy about drawing out of the hat.
It makes it more believable.
Why are you putting it over there?
Because I don't want you drawing one while I'm still talking about this one.
Don't want me to rush you, huh?
I do not like this one. Guess who it's from?
I don't know.
Well, here's a hint. I do not like this one.
It's Azure Talon?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I'll let you decide.
I thought in this universe you loved him.
Not signed Azure Talon, but here we go.
Okay.
Help quickly. Hat related. I got a hat that says Vuelve a hacer grande a America. But I'm not sure which political side wants to kick my ass for it. Who are these people? Signed, Gara Azul. P.S. I am hoping both. I would like to just say this was not abbreviated in any way. That is word for word what was written while Azure Talon was presumably having a stroke.
The answer is neither.
There we go.
Sorry.
Well, I think it's just Make America Great Again in Spanish. And right, that's what's supposed to be.
The joke is that the Make America Great Again will offend the liberals, and it being in Spanish will offend
exactly.
The conservatives.
Yes. And what I think it really is, yeah, is that neither of them will care.
No.
As the liberal side, I don't care.
Well, the problem is...
It's a funnier joke than some ones he's done on here.
The problem is the liberal, both the liberal side and the conservative side are mostly white. Mostly non-Spanish-speaking people. I mean, that's kind of the irony about our political system is there's this belief that there's one side that's racist and doesn't care about minorities and that the other side that does. But the other side also is not that in touch... I mean, they're not minorities, most of them, that are in power on that side. The minorities in our country sort of get kicked around like a football, and it's kind of disgraceful,
really. But that's
okay,
because soon they won't be the minority anymore.
That's true.
Was it 2030 when the Latinos take over?
Not very long. Welcome to it, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't want it. You take it.
I do not understand people's fascination with what color people are and how many... people of this color outnumber people of that color. Unless they are talking about white people outnumbering other people, because it does happen to be in our culture that has real impact. I mean, people who aren't white are disproportionately represented in oppressed places like prisons and slums and things like that. That really happens. But yes, outside of that, I'm not really sure why we need to worry about the fact that there's going to be more of this color people than that color people in 30 years.
I just like the idea that I'll look exotic.
That's a good one.
Yeah. We don't see a lot of white people around here in the U.S.
There will be special websites just for people like you to post your picture and get dates.
Your pasty skin tone drives me wild. So unusual.
You're a genius. You're a genius, I admit.
Start writing some hot pilgrim / fiction.
Oh, man, that is hilarious.
I'm going to write my book and be like, I really wanted to get in the mind of a white guy. I feel like very few people understand and what it's like for them.
Maybe you'll color your hair and beard like red. That'll be really exotic.
Blonde is the way to go.
I suppose. You don't think the gingers are going to be the most exotic of all?
They are now, and everybody hates them already, so I don't know.
Well, all the white people hate them. Maybe the non-white people won't.
Oh.
You need to be making plans.
Yeah, this could be good. Of course, I'm pretty sure I know what color my hair is going to be by 2030.
Well, that'll just make it easier to color.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
you won't have to
either way,
bleach it first.
And there won't be that much. So, so that'll be fun. If you really have this hat, Ajdalen, I would say don't wear it ever. Because at this point, somebody will either hate it or it'll just be a depressing reminder to everyone. So either way, you're going to bum everyone out, is what I'm saying. I don't know if they'll be mad at you, but everybody's going to be bummed if you wear it. So don't do that. Don't bum everybody out. That's my job.
Now you're going to actually hand the hat to me so that...
Yes, I'm done. You may draw another thing.
Another one from Coffee.
Coffee!
Which past events or experiences have made you feel alive?
None of them have been dead this whole time. That's the plot twist.
But did you feel alive?
I don't know. What did make me feel alive?
I always feel alive. That's why I don't understand thrill seekers. It's like, why do you need to do that to feel alive?
Yeah, that's the thing, because there's the immediate place to go is like the dangerous things I've done or the times when I was close to death. But I'm like, I don't think they really did.
Yeah, I almost drowned once, and that didn't make me feel alive. I mean, I suppose the fact that I was rescued and that I was okay made me, for a second, feel glad that I don't know. I mean, I was glad I didn't drown, of course, but...
Well, exciting in a very non-judgmental state. You are excited by that.
Well, the thing is,
thrilling is not the same as being alive, necessarily.
I don't tend to... I mean, I'm sure we all have blind spots in our life where there's certain things we take for granted. But there aren't a lot of things I take for granted.
Root beer.
No, that's one of the things I definitely don't. Stories that I've been told since I was a kid, and these are some of my earliest memories of being told these stories, because some of my earliest memories are of my grandfather dying and my dad being all upset about it. From that earliest memory to now, I constantly hear stories and sort of gravitate to stories that are all about how short life is, how you have to live every moment like it means something to you, how you have to, if you feel like telling someone you care about that you care about them, you should tell them that, stuff like that. This is stuff that's just always, because my dad didn't have a chance to talk to his dad before he died. I was 2 years old when this happened, but I remember it very vividly. And that was a huge thing that he didn't get to tell him certain things before he died. And, every movie or TV show you can think of that teaches that lesson, I've probably seen it. Every story, there were that lessons told.
That's a lot of Hallmark channels.
I've probably heard it. And, my other grandfather died of cancer in 1985, and he constantly talked about how short life was and things. So it's been sort of drilled into my head that you just can't take things for granted. I think that's also the reason why, a lot of people often talk about how quickly things happen. Like, wow, I can't believe this just seems like it, like the kids grow up so fast, or this happened so fast. And I've never had that experience really with anything. Like the kids that I raised, it seemed like it took as long as it took. It didn't seem like they grew up really fast.
I will admit, all the time I've ever been around you, time does not seem to move very quickly.
Well, this is what I'm
saying. I had theories about that, but it may just be some sort of field.
But I'm serious. I think that happens when people are paying attention to something else. And I've just been trained, I guess, to pay attention to what I'm doing. And so it makes things... I mean, there are a few things. Like, sometimes I'm surprised by how long we've been doing this podcast because it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
No, I would agree with that.
But little things like that are the exception. I mean, just about everything else, you know, like, people said high school would go by fast. I thought high school was a slog. College was the same. I thought it took forever to get through college. But, you know, I really believe in paying attention to what's going on. And for me, I think it makes time go by at a particular pace. And so I don't have these, even when I have a experience that is a brush with mortality or whatever, I don't wake up thinking, wow, I wish I'd lived my life this way instead of this way, because I've pretty much already decided I have to live my life a certain way or else I'm going to be, you know, unhappy with it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't relate to the question at all. I don't know.
When I was younger, my family bought a treadmill. I think we bought it. Maybe it was given to us by well-meaning relatives as a gift. I don't know. But we ended up with a treadmill. And I would use it. And the thing that I found very fascinating, I don't know what you call it, a kinesthetic illusion, I guess. Because it was like an optical illusion, but it was the feel of things. Is after you get off of it and you walk around, you're moving really fast. Because your feet are pushing you and you go forward and you're just staying in place. Yeah. And I have discovered over the years...
I have never heard anybody say that about a treadmill before, but I imagine it's true.
I was a kid and I was just like, why does it feel like I'm walking so fast?
Kind of like roller skating. When you've been roller skating and you stop, it feels really weird just to, really weird just to walk.
But I've discovered over the years that it's a condition you can achieve very easily just by thinking about it, basically. Next time you're walking, focus on the fact that essentially the balls of your feet are pushing your entire body forward vertically. Like, you're just standing up straight and that one foot just pushes your body forward and you can feel that sensation.
Yeah.
And it's very weird.
Like a controlled fall.
Yeah, but then the sort of realization, I just do this all this time without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think the times I most feel alive have to do with two factors. One, if I'm doing something unusual for me, because it's different, so I'll pay more attention. That being said, I don't seek that out very often. But it's true, you know, if I'm doing something different, I'm suddenly aware of my place in a different environment, and therefore I'm more aware of myself. The other one, and this is a big one, when I feel a tremendous sense of agency, and you have to understand, I'm a financially stable white guy living in Iowa. I always have agency. But there are times where it feels very focused. Like, I very much feel like I'm not being weirdly influenced by anything. Like, it's an idea or a thing I'm going to do is very clear, and I'm confident that it is the thing I want to do and the thing I should do, and I feel very alive in those moments.
Yeah,
and they don't come that often, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I would have to say, when I don't know if I would ever characterize it as I feel most alive, but the place... A thing that I'm doing that makes me feel the place I feel best or closest to my bliss, I guess you could say, is when I'm working on some creative project.
Yeah. See, and that doesn't even necessarily fly for me, because that's the thing. So many decisions I make in creating, in what I do with my time or whatever, there's always this, like, you know, am I doing that? Why am I doing that? Am I doing that because I'm too lazy to do this other thing? Am I doing that because I'm scared if I don't do this, then this? There's always questions. What is influencing me? What is making this decision for me that I'm not aware of? And it's not very often that I'm like, no, this is definitely me And I'm glad of it, and I have the power to make it happen, and I'm doing it. Mm. And those are awesome times. I don't know how conscious I am of them, though, at the time. Frequently, the alive times, I look back, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Which, maybe that's cheating. I'm like, I guess I didn't really feel alive then, but I feel alive thinking back on it. I don't know. As usual with coffee, it's a weird question.
I guess I feel like I always feel alive. I mean, I'm always grateful for being alive, and I'm grateful. That's another thing that sort of
still alive.
Really drilled into my head was gratitude. You know,
is that from watching Kentucky Fried Movie?
No, it's just where I come from.
That was a hilarious joke,
by the way. You are grateful for, I mean, the universe doesn't owe you anything. So everything you've got is like, wow, that's cool, thanks.
The universe owes me $5. Seriously, the universe borrowed $5 like a year ago. Hasn't paid it back.
But I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have very much. Dad was a factory worker, 5 kids. We didn't have a lot of stuff, but we felt rich anyway because just of all the stuff we did have. And we had, our family was very close. We got along. We knew people who had more stuff than we had who were less happy than we were. So, I don't know, it's just.
And William's dad would always say, we got to hold on to what we got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We've got each other. And that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot. Oh. I don't know what your dad looks like, but I love the idea of your dad singing Living on a Prayer. To you guys as kids. Well, and based on your upbringing, I picture you guys dressed as Puritans. Like, is that...
Puritans? No.
Yeah, like you're wearing bonnets and...
No.
And black... Oh my god, I love that that's your response. No, we weren't Calvinists.
We weren't.
Also, it was the 20th century.
Well, let's not...
So what? So you look like Mennonites, or you look like some other sort of like?
No, we weren't.
You're supposed to say, "God damn it! It was modern times. We looked like normal people, fucker."
There are people who dress in ways that are from previous eras, like as a matter of
if they are in intentional communities,
like Shakers or Amish or
whatever. Again, intentional communities.
I know, but you
I did not believe that you. It was the Melcher Dallas colonies. In which you were raised.
Yes, but you often joke about how out of date my family was.
That's why I picture you dressed as Puritans.
But why Puritans? Why not?
Because that's the only clothes I know that old. Because I don't know what other Americans were wearing in the 17th century. If I did, I would pick that. But I don't.
Sorry.
Simple insult against you and your family. You just have to complicate it.
This is like that whole episode with farming, isn't it? Where you're trying just to tell a simple joke.
Simple
and
joke.
And I get way literal about
your
it.
Your family is hilarious because they're from a small town. Methodists. I don't know, how do Methodists dress? Just like Baptists, but with more letters? God, I have gotten so much mileage out of that joke from Man from Snowy River, that a movie I have never seen, where he says that Methodists are just Baptists that can read. And I've never seen the movie, but somebody told me that joke. I've used that joke, never really appropriately, I don't think, but I've used that joke like 50 times in my life, at least.
I don't get it.
Me neither, but it's funny.
At least the Methodist can read, I guess.
I think the joke is supposed to be. It's supposed to be one of those both sides suck things, because Baptists are supposed to be ignorant, illiterate bastards, and Methodists are basically no better than Baptists, is what they're saying. You just happen to know how to read. Because I feel like...
So it's starting with the assumption that everybody knows Baptists are worthless, whatever.
Can't read, yet.
But a Methodist is also,
A Methodist might take issue with the idea that they were very similar to a Baptist.
Oh, okay.
And they're saying, yeah, you know what the difference is? And that frequently, that's a common joke format. What's the difference between blah and blah? And frequently, the joke is that it is this one fairly small detail, and otherwise they're almost exactly the same. Yeah. What's the difference between a big steaming turd and this dude I don't like? Big steaming turds don't have cheap shoes. You know, that's the joke right there. See, so what I'm saying is, Baptist big steaming turd, Methodists have cheap shoes. Is what I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm not even sure how I got there, but that's where we're in. Yes,
Baptists are good people, though.
And Methodists have cheap shoes and dress like Puritans.
No, they do not dress like Puritans.
Now, you were Seventh-day Adventist for a little while.
Yeah, I was.
But that wasn't your family's deal.
It was my mom's deal.
Did your mom convert, or she was raised that and sort of drifted back
Mom, it's complicated. She was kind
everyone
of...
understands
she it. Was, she was raised that way, I guess you could say.
Shaft.
It seems like...
Can you dig it?
Now there's no one to ask because they're all gone. But it seems like maybe that started in the middle of her childhood, the Seventh-day Adventist thing. Like her mom became Seventh-day Adventist while she was still a little girl. But it could have been her mom became a Seventh-day Adventist before that. I don't know. But more or less she was raised that way, yes.
Okay.
She went to a Seventh-day Adventist college for a while. She didn't graduate from there because she got married. She married a Methodist guy and she just...
Did
the Methodist thing. But, you know, Seventh-day Adventists don't eat pork, and so us kids didn't eat pork when we were growing up. Mm. Also, Seventh-day Adventists have particular beliefs about what happens when you die, and that's what we were taught, which is that you don't go right to heaven after you die. There's a resurrection someday in the future. That's when the people go to heaven, but other than that, you're just done. You're not anything. Also, there's the Seventh-day Adventists don't believe in an eternal hell, and we were taught that. Let's see, what else? I think that's... And the Sabbath was something that that we were taught about, too, that, well, the Bible does teach that Saturday, in our week, Saturday is what the Sabbath is, but we go to church on Sunday for some other reason. So we were just taught that even though the Bible does teach that, we don't think that that's a important teaching of the Bible. So in a way, we were taught about the Sabbath, too.
Okay. But when you were older, you actually became...
That's right.
...a for-real card-carrying...
That's right, I did.
...member. Mm-hmm. Just because you were like, you know, my mom always kind of talked about this thing, and it seems pretty cool. I should check it out.
Well, and my grandma and my uncle, mom's brother, were Seventh-day Adventists. And so, you know, I would talk to them, I would... you know, stay with them or whatever. So I was probably leaning that direction before I ever went to college. Okay. And then I went to college, and like for the first semester or first year or something, I wasn't going to any particular church. I think I went to the Methodist church once, and somehow I found my way to the Seventh-day Adventist church a couple times. And then I met the woman who I would eventually marry, my first marriage. And
was she?
She was not. She had been agnostic before I met her, but she, it doesn't seem like it was through my influence alone, but she was interested in religion and stuff like that. So she asked me some questions and I told her what I thought and I encouraged her to look around for other things or whatever. But eventually she wanted to go to church. And so I talked to her about different kinds of churches or whatever. And naturally I talked about Seventh-day Adventist because that was part of my thing. She said, well, let's try that. And so we did. And so she eventually decided that she was going to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And so I figured, and by that time we were married, actually.
Oh, okay.
And so I figured, well, I mean...
This works well.
Yeah, this works for me. So
this dovetails nicely.
We were baptized on the same day, and then we were just Seventh-day Adventists for a while. But then right around the time that we got divorced, actually when we got separated, then I left church.
I think that happens a fair bit. That sort of happened with my parents, because they actually, in their previous marriage, they actually met in church, because when they were each married to other people, they all went to the same church.
Yep.
And I think they still sort of went, mostly, I guess, when they moved, it did. But, like, I know somebody who got, they were raised Methodist. They got engaged to somebody who's Presbyterian, got heavily involved in that religion. And then they got engaged, and shortly before the wedding broke up. And it was sort of, that shook them out, and they sort of left the church after that. Which I can understand on a sort of a variety level. I mean, there's just the sort of familiarity issue, like this just reminds me of all of that. But then there's also sort of the, this was the model I was working with, and it clearly failed me.
Well, for me, it was, there were a couple things. One, there was, the Seventh-day Adventist Church congregations aren't very large.
Okay.
And so,
you know, they don't eat enough pork. Die off.
Aren't very, like, in this area, there's one church, one Seventh-day Adventist Church. And any given day, any given Sabbath you go there, it's, there's going to be 30 people there. Okay. So, in the split, and my ex-wife, she's like a teacher, and she teaches in the Seventh-day Adventist school system a lot. I mean, I don't know if she still does that, but that, at the time, that was, so she, that was a thing. So she was like an officer of the church kind of thing.
Okay.
See?
So then that would have been real weird.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So it's, so here I am, and it's like, okay, out of respect to her and other people, I mean, I didn't really have a problem going there myself necessarily, but it was just going to be weird for people. And,
no, that, you know, makes sense.
You don't want to upset a person's worship time or whatever. So it's like, all right, out of respect for everybody, I'll just stay away from that situation. But stay away from that situation and go where? There's no other church in this area, just that one.
You should have founded one.
So for a while, I always intended maybe to get, I don't know, maybe I'd move back home or something. But of course, the problem was when we lived in Knoxville, where I'm in Marion County, where I'm from, the only church in Marion, all of Marion County, is in Knoxville, and they have a school there that she taught at.
Ooh.
So everybody knew her from there too. I mean, yeah. I probably could have gone there and it would have been fine, but whatever.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it was just weird. That's right. Yeah. So I was kind of in a place where I thought I'd go back eventually, and then I just never did. And then over time, I just sort of realized that
it wasn't doing it for you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the way I was raised, organized religion wasn't really. I mean, we went to church, but we were very much kind of this suspicion of authority thing is kind of something I was raised with. So, you know, when I came to college and you know, the fashionable thing in college is for everyone to rail against organized religion, especially if you were raised with it. I totally understood what people were talking about with that, even though I was raised with religion too, and I didn't feel like.
You weren't feeling rebellious.
No, I wasn't feeling oppressed either in my religious upbringing. But I understood what they were talking about because I knew that a lot of people did feel that way in their religious upbringing. And so organized religion was never, like, none of my siblings go to church.
Yeah.
Now that they're adults. It's just not a priority for them.
I literally never went to a church service until I was, I think, 12. And it wasn't when I was sort of looking for religions and stuff. And in fact, the producer had me go up once to the UU church with her. And it didn't work for me. And it was that time that I realized, I was like, it's church. Like, if I was going to go to a church, this would totally be the one. But I just, that community, the church holds a specific place for people in their lives, and especially often in their upbringings. I never had that, so I neither miss it nor crave it at all.
Exactly. Now, see, for 10 years of my life, it was a big deal in my life, and I liked it, and I liked the people I met there, and I liked what I was doing. I was an elder. I was going to start a campus ministry and all this stuff. But what I found after I was away from it for a while was I didn't miss it. I did like it at the time. But being away from it, I didn't miss it.
It's very specific to the thing. It may be something that's hard to replicate anyway.
Yeah.
So if the experience was less about the particular faith and more about that particular community, those particular people, you can't just go to a different one.
No, and that's another thing I realized was that while, you know, again, the Seventh-day Adventist thing has been in my life for all my life, and there are a lot of ways they interpret Scripture that I agree with and all this stuff, but I don't, even while I was in it, I knew that I didn't have the strength of conviction that the other Seventh-day Adventists had about certain things.
Pork. You just love pork.
Well, I don't know how to explain it. Let's just say that I am far more tolerant of different views on the Bible, on Christianity, on religion, on atheism, on agnosticism. I'm far more, to me, none of those things bother me. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people who are, not just Seventh-day Adventists either, but a lot of Baptists, a lot of people who are Christians, those topics are not comfortable for them. But they are for me, because I just don't have those dogmatic hang-ups.
Which is weird, though, because you say there's no concept of hell. So there's not that. Is there judgment?
Yes, but
what happens if you're judged poorly?
Well, that's just it. Nothing happens. You don't live for an eternity, but...
Oh, we're just dead instead of hell. It's like an atheist death.
Yeah.
Like, oh!
But there's... Okay, but there's no sense of what, like, the proportion's going to be. Like, well, 50% will be in oblivion, and the other... I mean, because...
Well, because I was just trying to figure out, I'm like, what if there's... why not eat bacon or any of the others? If we're all just going to heaven anyway.
Well, and see, that's the thing. A lot of it opens itself up to a universalist interpretation, too, which is fine with me. I mean, it makes sense to me that if God wants to be with humanity, and God's so smart, I mean, God would have a way for everybody to make it no matter what. So why should I worry about who's going to make it and who's not going to make it?
Yeah, if God's so smart...
Well, you see what I'm saying?
Why isn't he figuring out why I'm not eating pork?
You see what I'm saying? It's just not... There's not really anything in the Bible that says this many people will make it and this many people won't.
Anti-preaching to the anti-choir.
Well, you know, but it's like I said, the longer I was away from it, the more I realized I didn't really miss it, that my commitment to the dogma wasn't there at all. It's just not how I'm built. We weren't raised in my family to believe things out of dogmatic whatever. You believe something because it rings something true to you in your, I don't know, soul or something, right? I mean, I feel like God exists. I feel like these things are true. And it's very personal, which also leads to, I was never raised to proselytize or to get someone else to believe the same thing I do, because it's so personal. How can you do that? So... And the Seventh-day Adventist faith is very evangelical. They believe very much in trying to convert people and all this other stuff. So I guess I just realized, you know what? I was raised a Methodist, and that's pretty much what I am. I was a specific kind of Methodist, a very big tent, almost universalist Methodist, and there's a few out there. And I mean, I like what the Seventh-day Adventists have to say about certain things, but I probably don't really have any business being a member of their church, because they're looking for specific people that I'm not, and I never really was. But while I was in the church, I liked it. I had no negative experiences. I didn't leave the church because they harmed me or they kicked me out or they ostracized me because of the divorce or anything like that. I was away for... It was a practical thing. There just wasn't a church for me to go to. I didn't feel like there was a church for me to go to. I intended to go back and then realized... I don't really care if I go back, and I've been fine. And actually, we had the house appraised recently, maybe a year or so ago, and the guy who came and appraised it was from the local church. And so we talked a little bit, and he said, well, why don't you come back?
It's a sign from God.
He said, why don't you come back? And I said, I don't, there's no feeling there like that's where I belong.
Have you tried bacon? Really good. So, in answer to your question, Kavi, William and I both feel most alive when we're not in church. We should wrap this up. If you'd like to know more about church, visit your local library. They have lots of good books on the subject. You could maybe even do a ride-along on a church if you want. You know, you sit in the back while they church it up. Talk to your local...
Church
about that. Or, you know, Google it. Church. You might get some really good chicken out of that. I don't know. But
the Seventh-day Adventists are mostly vegetarian, but when they eat meat, they'll eat beef, and yes, they'll eat chicken.
Yeah, the Seventh Day Adventists I have known have been vegetarian.
Yep.
I guess if you're into this kind of thing, not church, the podcast, make it your religion.
I really don't recommend that.
Oh, that would be awesome. Do that. That would be fun. But anyway, regardless of that, right into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what your religion is and why it's better than ours. And we hopefully won't talk to you for quite a while, but those other losers should be back next week. Maybe they will have found a new religion. I probably should have turned it off. That was the moment.
Yeah, that was the moment. You missed it.
Oh, well. I could have done it again there. I mean, really any of these, like
yeah,
those tense moments.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.